time do you stop?
Sir?
What time do you stop?
Oh, in, say, about 10 till.
Okay.
So you got about 10 minutes.
Okay. All right. I was going to tell you, I have these little monsters for sale in the back, if you like. I'm not talking about my kids either, amen? All right, 1 Timothy chapter 6. Good to be here. Been praying for all of you for years. And it's good to see some familiar faces. So, I really enjoyed hearing that guns, and I heard cabin and men. I thought, man, it's good to be in a church where there's still real men, you know? Saw a sign that said, real men get pedicures. Yeah, yeah. I ain't into that. You know. Yeah, exactly. Sounds like some fungal disease or something. But anyway, yeah. I don't know. This generation we're in is really, I don't know. Something's not right. Amen. Effeminate. And so I'm glad to be here. Like I said, I've been praying for all of you. Hope God does something this week. Now, this thing here, this lesson, I hope is a really conviction deal to you and makes you miserable like it did to me. I got thinking about this, and I never really heard any subject. I've heard about this subject at all or teaching or preaching on it. And I'll be honest with you, it really opened up my eyes because I didn't really realize how guilty I was of this, even as a preacher. And 1 Timothy chapter 6, notice in verse 3, if any man teach otherwise and can send not the wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about him, he's hung up on, about questions and stripes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings. Now this word here that I want to bring to your attention has been defined as to suspect, it's to imagine without certain knowledge, it's to entertain thoughts that something does or will exist, but upon slight evidence or no certain or strong evidence. Say, what is this word? Well, the last two words in verse 4, evil surmisings. It only shows up one time in the King James Bible. And I got thinking about this stuff, and it shows up in a context of, number one, it's pride there. Pride kicks off all the other sins. And then you see envy, strife, and railings. And I got thinking about that. Why is evil surmisings in the same context as envy, strife, and railings? And I got thinking about that because there are some Christians who could think no good of others but themselves. They're very contentious people. You know what I've learned through the years? You can differ than me, and that's okay. I'm learning there's some battles that are just not worth fighting, and some are. And there are some people that just like to fight all the time and to suspect the worst of others. I'm going to ask you this morning, do you suspect the worst in others? How are you this morning? I mean, I've heard a saying, you better watch out for the brethren. Ever hear that before? I thank God for the brethren. You know what? If it wasn't for the brethren, I wouldn't have a suit. I wouldn't have food. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I thank God for the brethren that give and pray for us and support us. I mean, I'd rather be around the brethren than those in a bar. I mean, I know how it was before I got saved. I don't miss the old life, folks. I don't want the old life. I'm glad I'm a child of God. How about you? But you know what? I thank God for the brethren. They've been there for me. Yeah, some of them done me wrong. Some of them hurt me and all that. And I took care of that. Amen. I have a nice... Now I'm choking back. Some of you get my humor, like, what's this guy coming from? And I'm not Mexican. Del Grande's Italian, amen? People say, like, people always say, like, Taco Bell? I'm like, yeah, you're funny. And I start sizing them up. I think, yeah, you'll fit in the back of the trunk, yeah. But that's another thing. They don't make trunks like they used to. Anyway, but we should be cautious, amen? We should be cautious. But we shouldn't be critical. We shouldn't be critical. I'm going to ask you this morning, are you critical of others? Do you overlook a person's good qualities and only find that which is a flaw in them? I got news for you. None of us have arrived or attained anyway. And it's easy to overlook people's good qualities. And it's easy to look for what's wrong with a person than what's good in a person. I asked Dr. Gipp. He's been a blessing. He's the one that I talked with about going into evangelism years ago. And I've known him for years. I've preached some meetings with him. He's a blessing, Dr. Gipp. And I asked him, I said, how do you keep from getting a critical spirit? I mean, you've been in so many churches, you've been around. How do you keep from getting that? He said, always try to find something good in a person and magnify that characteristic about them. I mean, have you done that lately? Is that your attitude about others lately? I mean, and there, you know, I got to think about this evil surmise. Even though it shows up one time in the Bible, evil surmising is the actual word. There's many instances in the Bible. Let's look at Genesis chapter 20, and then we'll pray. Look at Genesis chapter 20. Genesis chapter 20. I'll give you a lot of examples in the Bible, and there's plenty more in there, but Genesis chapter 20, there's examples of people in the Bible who have evil surmised. Even though it doesn't say it, it implies it. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Father, thank you for an opportunity to be here. I'm glad these people prayed and fasted, Lord. And God, I don't want to get in the way. And I pray that I'll let you down this week and that everything I say is right to you. I pray to help to your people. And that, Lord, they're not disappointed at all. And Lord, allow me liberty. Fill me with the Spirit of God. I know that this lesson is not easy to teach or preach, Lord God, but it's a sin that's so prevalent in our Bible-believing camp. I pray that you get all the glory and honor for what's said and done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, Genesis chapter 20. Now, I'm in a church that's Bible-believing, and I know your pastor for years, and so I'm not going to read a whole bunch of verses because I can just give you the general gist and we can move on. Would you agree with me? Okay, good. Those three can, amen. All right, now, Genesis chapter 20. All right, here's Abraham, right? Now, he lies. He gets a little nervous. Now, I don't know about you ladies. You want a man when you marry. I know that Abraham was a man everywhere he went. He was a faithful man and loved the Lord and built an altar. But when it came to defending the wife, he was kind of a cream puff, you know? And he got nervous. He had a hot wife. And he was afraid that somebody's going to kill him for his wife and things like that. So then he lies. I mean, could you imagine that? Hey, honey, where are we going? We're going out to Egypt. And we're going out to... Okay, and then what? Well, just tell me you're my sister. Because I'm afraid I might get hurt, beat up. It's like, man, come on. You know, but anyway, he really did that, you know? Father Abraham, you know? But anyway, having said all that, I got thinking about that. And the Lord came to Abimelech in a dream by night. And the Lord spoke to Abimelech. Look at verse 4. But Abimelech had come not near her, and he said, Lord, will thou slay also a righteous nation? So he knew that adultery was wrong. Here's a pagan, heathen, Gentile who knew adultery was wrong. And instead he nodded to me, he says, she is my sister. He did, that's what he said. And she herself said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart, in the honesty of my heart, and in the innocency of my hands have I done this. And God said to him in the dream, yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me. And I'm glad for the times God has withheld me from sinning against him as well. I'm glad the Lord has kept me back from doing some stupid stuff I thought about doing. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. And anyway, go on. And then look at verse 9. So Abimelech's kind of in a tiff. He's kind of worked up, kind of upset, kind of sore, afraid. It says in verse 8, rightly so. I mean, God's on you're on the bad side of God. I get kind of nervous too. Verse 9, then Abimelech called Abraham and said unto him, what hast thou done us? What would you do? And what have I offended thee? Thou hast brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin. Thou hast done deeds unto me that ought not to be done. Now watch this. And Abimelech said unto Abraham, what sawest thou that thou hast done this thing? And Abraham said, because I thought. Surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake. See, what are you getting at? That's evil surmising. He thought he had Abimelech all figured out. I got news for you. You can't figure out people in a matter of a few minutes. It's God's duty, amen? God knows all about the heart of man more than we know, because the heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Whose heart? Your heart, my heart, all of our hearts. So he thought Abimelech was going to kill him for his wife, and he was wrong. See, what are you getting at? All right, you see a girl who's come in here immodestly dressed. You automatically assume once she's probably not saved, right? How do you know that? Well, I looked, and I think she's not as spiritual as who? You? Really? All right, so the girl comes in with a nose ring. The girl comes in with tattoos sporting. Well, how do you know she wasn't saved just 2 weeks ago? I mean, hasn't God had a lot of grace with you? Well, obviously, he doesn't love God like I do. Abimelech knew God. He didn't say, who are you? He said, God. He knew who God was. So just because someone may come in and they're not measuring up to your standards doesn't necessarily mean they don't fear God. They just may be ignorant. They may be what we call baby Christians. And you got to show a lot of grace. And sometimes when you look at people, you're like, well, they don't love God as much as who? You? So you've got to be very careful. Evil surmising is very prevalent. As you see through this lesson, you're going to find out very quick, you've been guilty of it. Look at 2 Samuel, another example. 2 Samuel chapter 3. So you can't always judge a book by its cover. I know it's a famous saying, but you got to be careful because sometimes your judgment's wrong. You know? 2 Samuel chapter 3, just for a background sake here, here's Abner. He wants to bring unity in the kingdom. David's approving of it. David's excited about it. The tribes are going to be all united together, happy, under one leadership. Isn't that a great thing? Well, Joab doesn't think that. Joab doesn't think that at all. And was David right with God at this point? Yep. It was many chapters before he committed adultery with Bathsheba. Did David love God? Was David a mighty man of war? Yeah, he knew people. David was a very good discerner of men. But Joab, boy, he's trouble. Look at verse 23. When Joab and all the host that was with him were come, they told Joab, saying, Abner, son of Ner, came to the king, and he, the king, has sent him away, and he has gone in peace. And Joab came to the king and said, what hast thou done? Behold, Abner came unto thee. Why hast thou sent him away, and he's quite gone? Thou knowest, Abner, son of Ner, that he came to deceive thee, and to know thy going out and thy coming in, and to know all that thou doest. Was that true? No. He was what? Evil surmising. And as a result, what happened? He kills him. Now, I understand he did it because of his brother and all that. I understand all that, but he killed the man. See, what are you getting at? There are people that don't want unity in the church. There are people that do whatever they can to kill a... They won't kill a person physically, but they'll ruin their reputation or slander or gossip about them. They don't like anybody getting promoted above them. Well, I was a deacon for so many years. Why does he get it? Well, promotion comes from God. That's what it says. This is not an easy message, amen. It's easy to get envious and jealous. It's easy to get evil surmising of people and think that you deserve it when you really don't. Joab thought he deserved it. Joab thought, I don't like competition. And I'm going to do whatever I got to do to take people out to get in my way. So he starts trying to put evil surmising into the mind of the king. You can look at this. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 10. 2 Samuel chapter 10. You can write this down for later on if you want. As you turn to 2 Samuel chapter 10, we'll look here, but you can write it down. In Acts chapter 21, there's an example of evil surmising. And what happened was in Acts chapter 21, verses 27 through 31, they beat Paul because they supposed, it says, it supposed, he brought a Gentile, Trophimus, into the temple. They just suppose. What is that? Evil surmising. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 10, for sake here, reading the whole thing here, but look at verse 1. It came to pass after this that the king of the children of Ammon died, and he and his son reigned in his stead. Then said David, I will show kindness unto Hanan the son of Naash, as his father showed kindness unto me. And David sent to comfort him by the hand of his servants for his father, and David's servants came into the land of the children of Ammon. And the princes of the children of Ammon said unto Hanan the Lord, thinkest thou that David doth honor thy father, that he hath sent comforters unto thee? Had not David rather sent his servants unto thee to search the city and to spy it out and overthrow it? Then he went and embarrassed the men and defiled them and cut off their beard. It's a mess there, right? But I wanted to get a hold of this. A war was started by Hanan's servants there because they thought that David wanted to spy out the land. Was that true? No, it wasn't. Now, or were they evil surmising? What were they? They were evil surmising. I'm a patriot, amen? I believe in standing for what's right in our country. But I don't believe that we have the right to go around the world and police every country. I don't believe that we should have our young people slaughtered and spending three tours. And I was served in the military, by the way. So I can say this because I was in the Army for 4 years and got an honorable discharge overseas. But let me just say this. I really believe it's messed up how our government's abusing power. Amen. And I'm not saying let's all go to the cabin now. Amen. All I'm saying is, unless you feel led. But anyway, all David wanted to do was show kindness to Hanan because he was one time friends with his dad. So we got on this witch hunt where we're going and we're taking out Al-Qaeda. Now it's not Al-Qaeda. That was all a front to take out white people who believe in guns, the Constitution, freedom of speech. You understand that? They were just patsies, those 9/11 guys. So what I'm saying is we got war started because of evil surmising. Am I right or wrong? Okay, now let's look at the next thing. Look at Jeremiah chapter 37. I'm not against the military. I'm not saying, you know, it's wrong. All I'm saying is that how many lives have been lost? I mean, you can't send a young man over and have him do three tours in Iraq or soon to be Iran or soon to be Syria. You just name it, whatever you want. Or Afghanistan and not have them affected mentally. It's a shame. One tour is enough, let alone three. To do what? It's all about control. It's all about power. You think we care about those people there? Do you think we really care about that when, you know, oil is there? I don't care about people. Because you know how you know is because look how they left Iraq. They really cared about the people that were under Saddam Hussein. Why aren't they taking care of the country? I mean, our generation is different than the generation before. They actually built Japan back up. Would we just go in and slaughter whoever won't bow down to us, and then we just leave them in a chaotic mess like Egypt? You see what I'm saying? Evil surmising can cause a war. Would you agree with me? It can cause people to be slaughtered. It can cause a lot of trouble. Look at Jeremiah chapter 37. Notice this. Jeremiah, look at verse 6. Then came the word of the Lord unto the prophet Jeremiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, Thus shall you say to the king of Judah, that sent you unto me to inquire of me. The old Pharaoh's army which come forth to help you shall return to Egypt into their own land. The Chaldeans shall come again and fight against the city and take it and burn it with fire. Well, that's somebody you want to have as your pastor, isn't it? I got news for you. You know, this is going to happen to you. God's going to bring judgment. You say, what are you getting at? Well, look at verses 13 and 14. You'll understand this. And when he was in the gate of Benjamin, talking about Jeremiah, a captain of the ward was there, whose name was Arijah, the son of Shelemiah, son of Hananiah. He took Jeremiah the prophet, saying, Thou false away to the Chaldeans. They were accusing him of being a treasonist. Then said Jeremiah, It is false. I fall not away to the Chaldeans, but he hearkened not to him. So Arijah took Jeremiah and brought him to the princes. Wherefore the princes were wroth with Jeremiah and smote him. And put him in prison in the house of Jonathan the scribe, for they had made that to prison. Now, the congregation, what they did was they thought that Jeremiah was their enemy, and that he was falling away to the Chaldeans. Was that true? No, absolutely not. They actually thought the preacher was their enemy. But he was actually what? Their friend. Now, you know what church members will do sometimes? Well, evil surmise of their pastor. Oh, you see that new suit he got? See that new dress his wife got? He went on vacation with our money. And I'm not trying to be rude. Some people are really like that. And it's, you know what I've learned through the years? People that think like that are the ones who normally don't give. I mean, when you take the money out of your wallet, it goes in a plate, say bye-bye, it's gone. It's not yours. And how the pastor handles this between him and God. And to be honest with you, he's got to give an account of what he did with that money. He knows that. He's not abusive with it. I mean, the guy's 27-year track record. I think you could trust him by now. Amen? That's what you wrote, isn't it? You got to type these, brother. You got to type these. I mean, this is, you know, it's getting hard to read your writing. But I said that for this reason. You may think that the pastor gave me a long list of names here, and he told me about all this going on. I remember a pastor one time, he said, Brother, he said, one time I got up, he said, you congregation, he said, you always think I told the preacher about everything when he comes in. He goes, this time I did. I told him who you are, what your problems are, everything. He was just joking. And the guy got up and hit on every single thing that was going on. He's no longer pastoring there, by the way. I felt bad for the guy. That was a real mess. You see, what are you getting at? Well, here's what you've done. Fast for the Mexican. Oh, no, revival, okay? And October 20th through the 26th. Now, you asked. Now, here's the deal. If you get mad, it's your fault. You asked for it, amen. you prayed and fasted. It's not my fault. I'm just trying to deliver the goods. I'm trying to give you what God's given to me. And here's what's really funny. Brethren say, I believe in God. I believe God speaks to people. Then he gets up, preacher speaks. God speaks to them through the preacher, and they go, preacher had to say something. I know he had to say something. He was saying exactly about my marital trouble and this going on and that going on, this problem and that problem. He hit it to him. I mean, there was one time I was in one church, and I'm telling you, the preacher was sitting on the front row, and he was shaking his head through the whole message. And I thought, is it that bad? I mean, I'm not a great orator, but I'm trying at least, you know. But he was like this, and he goes, brother, you hit on so much stuff. He says, I'm telling you, it's like, I told you everything. He goes, I don't know what I'm going to do. I said, well, I'm leaving Wednesday. Pray for you. Amen. I remember one time we had a guy in our church, and he was a pretty wealthy man in our church in South Africa, pretty wealthy. And, you know, but he got his money to his head sometimes. You know what I mean? He thought because he gave, he could do this and that. And I'll never forget, one time I was working on a message. But he was a rich man, but he was very stubborn. And his wife was very nice. And, I mean, really nice. Real blessing. And I was just reading through Samuel and came across Nabal. And I'm telling you, and Abigail. And I'm reading, I'm like, oh, man, I never saw these things in here. So I start putting the message together, working on it all week. And I had him not even in mind at all, I promise. Saturday afternoon, I wrap it all up. I'm going over the message. I'm like, man. And the Holy Spirit said, you're still going to preach it? Because you know who's directed that. Well, that's hard. See what happened that Sunday morning? Well, let me put it this way. He wasn't happy. But his wife was. And while I was preaching, she was going. She didn't say anything. She was like. And he was going. And then he walked out the back door of our church. And man, it was like a Cole Peppermint Patty commercial. That breeze. Right behind him. He was really miffed. You know what? Sometimes we as preachers, we get messages together, and reality, folks, we don't even have you in mind. Let me give you an example. Preacher gets a message on Sunday afternoon. Let's just say he goes home, gets a message, and it's about marriage. Let's just say it's about marriage. Let's say a wife who has a problem with submitting, or the man has a problem with treating his wife, not like a doormat, but treating her right. He has a problem with that. He treats her like a doormat. So then Tuesday, you decide to call the preacher. But he's already got a message, already working on a marriage about problems in the home. But Tuesday you call. Now you got to understand, that puts a preacher in a very hard position. He's got to obey God. But he knows the meeting with you Tuesday about your marital trouble that he didn't even know about that was festering, and you're like this. He's still got to preach a Sunday. How are you going to respond Sunday? Oh, he's using me in this example. He's using that pulpit as a whipping post. Well, don't you want help with your marriage? Can you give the guy the benefit of the doubt that maybe he even got it Monday night? Well, see, you don't think like that because you sometimes evil surmise. I wonder what the pastor meant by that. I wonder why he said that. I wonder why he looked at me. I wonder why he didn't shake my hand today. I wonder why he was abrupt with me. I wonder why all those things, then you start evil surmising. He doesn't really like me anymore. I was getting to that point, amen. Anyway, but you know, it's hard. It's hard for the preacher, amen. It's really, because sometimes we have no idea. Actually, most of the time we have no idea what's going on in your life. We really don't. And then we prepare a message just to try to be a help to you, and you get mad at us. And to be honest with you, preachers don't really want to be hated. They really don't. But sometimes we get hated because we're preaching about things that are very touchy. All right. You can write this down for sake of time. David thought evil of Mephibosheth. When Ziba told him he did not want to come, you know, to David and visit him in the woods, and he thought evil of Mephibosheth. Do you remember that? He said, okay, take everything away from Mephibosheth and it's yours. Remember, he said it right away, rashly. 2 Samuel chapter 16, verses 1 through 4. And David found out later on the truth. He wanted to give the land back to Mephibosheth. He felt bad. Here's another example real quickly. Eli. 1 Samuel chapter 1. He thought evil of Hannah. He thought she was drunk. But all she was doing was what? Pouring out her heart to God. I got news for you. Sometimes preachers, we're guilty of it. I don't try to figure out what you need as a church. I mean, I don't go in, oh, I know that's their problem. I see that problem. Because I've been wrong. I've been really wrong as a preacher. I remember one time going to a church, and this guy came up to me, and he was, oh, this and this and that. He really seemed like a real nice guy. And I went up to the pastor after, and I said, man, he was amen, and he's a real blessing. He said, that guy cuts my throat, man. That guy's the biggest trouble, man. So I said, you want me to call Vinny? Amen. I'm God's hitman. I'm Benaiah. Amen. That's what God told me to do. Ever read that? Benaiah? He took out somebody every chapter to first. Anyway. That's a man through my own heart. Amen. That's like the real mafia. Amen. But anyway. But sometimes we preachers, we think we have it figured out. And I've evil surmised through the years. And I really don't know what you folks need per se, except what God wants you to have, amen. And I'm not going to try to figure you out, psychoanalyze you this week, and give you a Google review and all that. I don't know, man, amen. All I know is a joke, but I just want to be in tune with God, amen. I just want to be a help to God's people. And I know that your preacher does as well. Now look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So, sometimes we preachers, we evil surmise, sometimes the people in the pew, evil surmise of the preacher. A lot of that goes on. A lot of it does. Husbands evil surmise at their wife. Wives evil surmise at their husbands. I wonder what he meant by that. Why didn't he kiss me before he left this morning? I'm just getting older. He doesn't love me no more. And so she starts thinking those thoughts. And she goes out and buys $100 worth of cream for the crow's feet. They aren't even there. Anyway. But people evil surmise. Guy comes home, where's she at? Probably left me. Why ain't my food on the table? Just evil surmising, Maybe she got caught in traffic, but they don't think like that. Anyway, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Okay, verse 5. Notice what charity does, okay? And what it does. It's really wild. It tells you what charity's not, right? And then it tells you one thing that charity is. It is kind, right? I thought that was interesting. Look at verse 5. I'm moving along because you say that word kind is like a bad word in Baptist church. But anyway, kind. Anyway, verse 5. Doth not behave itself unseemly, doesn't act inappropriately on property. Seeketh not her own, is not selfish, self-centered, is not easily provoked, not quick to anger, thinketh what? All right, so it's not thinking any evil thoughts, and evil surmisings is in evil thought. So the first reason why, I'm going to give you real quickly reasons why, I want to give you examples, but I'm going to give you reasons why people evil surmise. Number one is because they lack charity. They lack charity. Jonathan Edwards said this about evil surmising. He's got a book called Charity and Its Fruits. And I know a lot of those guys were Calvinists. I'm not a Calvinist at all. I don't even lean towards Calvinism the slightest bit. But I tried doing some research on evil surmisings, and I found a book written by Jonathan Edwards, Charity and Its Fruits, and he gets mentioning about charity and evil surmising like just a half a page, but it was good. And he said this about evil surmising. It is a disposition to think or judge uncharitably of others. That people are not so quick to think evil of those they love. They are very ready to think well of their personal friends, parents, or children. They are slow to believe what is said against them. You know what that means? Let me break it down to you. The Philadelphia way. If you love somebody, you don't think evil of them. And you'll defend them at any cost. But when you're evil surmising, it's because you lack charity. Brethren, I thank God that I'm dispensational, King James, not a brighter, not a hyper, not a Calvinist. Not any other. I can give you 100 things. I'm not pre-wrath and pre-trib. I can go on and on about all these things I'm happy I'm not, I am and what I'm not. But I got news for you. Our crowd is some of the most meanest people there are. They have no charity. I know you're getting mad, and that shows me right then and there, you have no charity. Because it's not easily provoked. Am I right or wrong? You know what I mean? You step on my toe, man, you have a flat tire out in the parking lot. I mean, it's like relax, calm down. But people are just charity. You know what charity does? It thinks the best of others until proven Guilty. Yeah, proven wrong. And there are people today, you're proven guilty before innocent. I mean, that's just the way it is. And some Christians show a great deal of a lack of charity towards others before they've even had to hear what the person had to say in their defense. I got news for you. Don't believe everything you read on Facebook. I know it's deep. I really thought about that all night. But you know what? You'll read something and you go, oh, so-and-so's church split. So-and-so, I don't have a Facebook. I don't want a Facebook account. I don't care. My wife doesn't. We don't want to be on it. Now, I'm not saying you're wrong with God if you haven't. I just know what Dr. Gibbs said, and I like this. He said, get your face in this book. Amen. So I thought it was pretty good. So I'd like to use that. Kind of a buffer. I mean, but to think evil of someone until you know more about the circumstances and everything's made plain is sin. And some of you may not even give a person a chance to prove that they're not a bad individual. As soon as they come in, you got them all figured out. What's his name? Get a social. Let's do a background check. Could be a pedophile. I mean, it's like, whoa, calm down, relax. People are like that. Like, roll. Get his license plate. Just relax. It's kind of weird. Like, people, here's our brother. Let me give you an example. Man, let's pray for visitors, this revival meeting. Let's pray that God brings them in. And then here's members. Who's that guy? I don't know. Should we say hi to him? No, let's just stare at him. Think he's getting uncomfortable? Well, he's kind of shifting his neck around his shirt there. Let's do it again. Real intense. It's like, wait a minute. Didn't you pray for visitors? Sometimes there's been some church I've been at where I and my family were visiting, and we were making the visitors feel welcomed. Are you a member? No, neither are we. We're visitors. Yeah, I guess they're members over there. They don't want to talk to us, so let's just talk. I don't stink. You smell. And they don't want to come near you. Anyway, look at Proverbs chapter 12. Look at this verse right here. This is a verse that jumped right out of you. This is when you think you've arrived or attained. Just read the whole book of Proverbs and you'll find out you haven't. Proverbs is a very humbling book. Proverbs chapter 12. All right, Proverbs chapter 12. You know, to pretend to see sins in others without any real proof is pride. You know? Did you ever think that the evil you're imagining someone to be guilty of may not even exist? Look at Proverbs chapter 12, verse 20. Notice this. Deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil. You know, in the past, I have been wrong about others. Have you? One of you have. I mean, a Christian who evil surmises, they put up a wall. Ever get around them? They don't want to shake hands. They don't want to say hello. They don't want to talk. You know, they come in with their spiritual boxing Rocky shorts on, and I, the tiger, is playing, and they push the doors open, or like, and they got a defense. It's like, man, just relax. They won't shake hands with us. I was at church one time. And this guy, we were all shaking hands and all that. And this guy went. I thought, oh, poor guy's got maybe Lou Gehrig's or something. I didn't know. I mean, thought some, just, you know, he just didn't want to shake no one's hand because he was afraid of getting bacteria. Now, I got news for you. Let me ask you a question here. What is up with our churches having these huge drums of hand sanitizer? Now, you got to get a hold of this. Get a hold of this, right? They got these huge drums, and we're in a church, and we're supposed to have faith. We believe God can heal you. Glad you came to church. Nice to meet you. Take your hand. Thanks. Like cooties, like little kids get. Wow. But you know what? They don't fellowship with others, people that lack charity. You know? They evil surmise. They don't want to accept others for who they are. They're arrogant. They're proud. Look at Philippians chapter 2. They lack charity. They lack charity. Folks, we need charity. And that evil surmising is connected with a lack of charity. Charity thinketh no evil. All right, look at Philippians chapter 2, look at verse 4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Notice they do not esteem others better than themselves, because why? They're in love with themselves. Mirror, mirror on the wall. Who's the fairest of them all? Moi. Me. Who else? You know? It's like, you ever been around someone like that? It's funny to catch those guys in the bathroom when you walk in, you know? Anyway, but charity. You can only suck it in for so long. It's going to fall down. But charity thinks the complete opposite of evil surmising. It thinks the best of others, so proving guilty. And charity thinks that if Christ can love me, I can love you. See, I'm lovable. No, none of us deserve God's love. He does it because He's love. And if God can love me, I can love you, folks. Amen? So it's the complete opposite of charity, evil surmise. That's why people evil surmise. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6 again. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Now, I didn't say anything's wrong with hand sanitizer. I'm not telling you to, you know, Bath and Body Works, you know, picket it outside in the mall. Just relax. Anyway. Verse 4. He is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy. Notice how that word envy is there. You know, when somebody evil surmise, they're very envious. You know, people envy others who have more than they do. All right. I go to someone's house. And they go in their house. And it's really funny how all of a sudden they want to like tell me how they got this and how they got this and how they got that and how they got this, because they feel like they got to explain themselves to me like I'm the IRS auditing them and asking them where they got the money to buy this stuff. I'm not. But maybe I am. No, anyway, but you know, and I thought, okay, so I go to someone's house. It's hilarious, right? And they got this 61-inch TV, flat screen on the wall, you know, and they're trying to block it. I mean, unless you're Jabba the Hutt, you're not going to block your TV. So you go in their house, and they're like, yeah, it's got them. Oh, this? It's like as big as at a race board. That? Well, I'll tell you what we watch on it. We only watch the Weather Channel. That's it. I thought, yeah, I would want a screen that big just to watch the Weather Channel. You know what I mean? That's really cool. You know, the woofers and so, you know, yeah. Great, you know, now brought to you the weather. Come on, I mean, really. But it's like people got to explain. Anyway, so you go in and they start explaining themselves. You know what I mean? You know, these tile floors, are they Italian tile? Or are they granite, marble, countertop? You go in, they got a pool. You know, we never use it. You know, okay, well, who cares? It's your pool, use it. I don't care, you know. I think, can I use it this week? Anyway, but, you know, but is that they get nervous. Why? You know, I was at a church one time, and this one guy looked at me and goes, that's a nice watch you have. So, yeah, it is. I don't care. I didn't say that to him. I thought, you know, it was a fossil. So, well, how did you get a fossil? Well, I went back to Philly and got it off this truck. This guy was selling it. He said, hey, psst. I got to make you a deal you can't refuse. I said, sure, you know. No, I went to an outlet in Philadelphia. Someone gave me some money to get a watch, and I got a watch. You know what I mean? I don't feel bad about it. You got a fossil watch? I don't care. People get all mad about that. What am I supposed to have? What do you want me to have? A Mickey Mouse watch? What do you want me to have? You know what I mean? I'm a grown man. I grew up. I don't care, but they'll look you up and down. You know? What kind of shoes are they? You know, the attitude is, I bet they're not tithing to have such a nice car. Maybe they have a nice car because they are tithing. Maybe they have a nice car because they're giving more than you. Maybe someone died and they got that car. Who knows, you know? I don't mean bump them off. I mean maybe somebody in the family died. You got to watch how you say that, you know? Yeah, we got the car. It's a long story. Let's go for a drive. But, you know, I bet they're not tithing and have such a nice house. Well, why should they have a dump? See, we charismatics preach prosperity gospel, right? We Baptists preach poverty gospel. The more you look like Paul White trash, the more spiritual you is. Right? So, hey, I'm going to show you how spiritual I am. I got trash bags in my window. What do you got? I got hefty, ultra strong. Come on, man. You know, it's like, you know what I mean? Some people really feel that it's really spiritual to have your house falling through. The Bible says a lazy man has his house dropped through. Read Proverbs. I know that ain't popular, but that's a fact. I mean, your porch falling off, your roof caving in, you know, that's a bad testimony. When you got a lost neighbor, they say that's how Christians live. Amen. But I've been there before and driving my fifth wheel. I sold it, you know, and now I got a yacht. But anyway, that's a little Hot Wheel yacht. Anyway, but, you know, but I remember pulling up with a fifth wheel and, you know, one time this one guy told an evangelist wife, not my wife, it was another wife, and not my other wife. I got one wife anyway. But when I was in Africa, I had more than one. But anyway, but it must be nice to be on permanent vacation.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. You know what? Never leave your sewage hose and tank open in 6-degree weather. You know what? Sometimes it doesn't drain. And when the wind chill is really bad, and you and your son, I'm not short on vertically challenged. That's the politically correct term. And I'm out there with this 15-foot hose that's full of 15-foot stuff. And I'm carrying it across this field that is church in the white snow. Oh, that was really great. And then I couldn't shut the valve and decided to thaw out as I was driving out the church parking lot on white snow. They invited me back. A couple years later, they invited me back. You say, what are you getting at? It's not what you think. It's not what you think. Those things are terror. They're brutal. They're horrible. And you see the guy and you're traveling, you're like, oh, you think weekend getaway. It's not. It's a life. I'm not complaining to you. So when you see Dr. Gibb, you know what I mean? Oh, look at that nice motorhome. It's, you know how expensive they are, the tires, the maintenance on that. It's a fortune. So if a church gives $2,000, I've seen people do $2,000 to a guy. The payments are like $1,500 a month between the two vehicles. It's not what you think. So don't get envious.
Man, if I had driving around getting like $5,000 a month.
We spend over $10,000 a year in diesel alone. And if you want me to leave, you got to give good this week, amen. But I'm just joking. Don't even surmise. But I remember one time a person came out to me, this guy, and he says, oh, I'd like to do that. I said, do what? He goes, I'd like to do that one day. I said, do what? He says, do it like you do. You know, sell all that I have and travel and sightsee. Thought, sure, let me move in your house so you can have my fifth wheel, you know. I had a lady come out one time, and I'm washing this fifth wheel. It was 11 foot 6 high. And being short or vertically challenged, it was a challenge to clean that thing, you know. This lady came out and goes, oh, that's a nice thing you have there. How many bump outs do you have? Is it bump outs? Slide outs? I already knew where she was going. I grew up in Philadelphia. I'm not the smartest guy, but I know street stuff. I already knew where she was going. I already knew where she was going at. So I just played her game. Like, 3 slide outs. Does it have a bathroom in there? Yeah, what do you think? We hold it the whole time? I mean, I didn't say that, but I was like, yeah, we got a bathroom in there. You got beds? I got beds. Kids got beds. Okay. And I go through the whole thing. And I knew she was getting a how much. I said, well, you know what? She didn't say it, but I beat her to the punchline. It killed her. She walked away. I said, well, it's cheaper than a mortgage. You say, what happened to the conversation? I don't come to your house, and I wouldn't come to your house going, oh, how much? Is that rude? Am I right or wrong? One time a guy said, a pastor, I preached a message on how to be a help to your pastor, and he repays me this way. He said, let's take up an offering. I want you to know that evangelists have it pretty good. They travel, they get the sightsee, they do it very well financially, I thought. So what happened to the guy's church? A year later, it closed down. It really did. You know, he had the gall to ask me after the service, he said, I don't know why people don't give. Hello? I mean, why would you be envious of someone who has something nicer than you? If I see someone have a nice house, a nice car, all that stuff. I had a guy, he wanted to show me his Corvette, you know. And it goes really fast, you know. But anyway, so he says, want to go for a ride? I'm like, yeah. So I said, I'd say right now, 100 miles an hour is really quick when you're in a passenger seat, amen? But I didn't get all jealous and envious and say you're not right with God because you got a Corvette Stingray and a newer Corvette. And have at it, amen? I don't care what you have. You understand that? And neither should you care because it is God that's blessing the other person. How do you know so-and-so didn't have a Down syndrome child? How do you know that so-and-so didn't have cancer? How do you know that so-and-so didn't go through a lot of financial problems in life and God just wanted to bless them? Why would you be jealous and envious of someone who has something nicer than you? How come when someone has something nicer than you, they can't be right with God, but when you get it, God blessed you? Look what God did for me. All right? Here's another thing real quickly about evil surmising. It shows that you have a bitterness problem. It shows you have a bitterness problem. People who evil surmise are people who have been burned in the past by other Christians. Well, you know, the last church I was in, and you know, everybody's out to get them and all that. And so you think everyone in the church is a hypocrite. And now they're not going to let go of their bitterness. They're going to hold on to it and all that and be mean to everyone else in the church. I got news for you. There's no perfect preacher. And there's no perfect church member. And you got to let go of your bitterness and stop thinking the worst of others. I've had people take my offering. You understand that? Take my offering. My wife had a mini stroke at the age of 19 years old. My wife. Like a five-month-old baby. We were on deputation in Kentucky. Left a guy, Sean Riggs, in Mumfordville. And we didn't have medical coverage. So I went to this church a couple weeks later. And I'm up there, and it was a big church, about 200 people on Wednesday night, 400 people on Sunday up in a certain place. You got to be careful. And I went there and I preached. I didn't let on to anything. And I'm not, just bear with me now. I had a big bill to pay. Okay? And they brought these offering plates up and they said, let's take up an offering. And I'm telling you, folks, it was like the Leaning Tower of Pisa. I mean, it was money over the plate. I thought, man, praise the Lord. Man, we're going to be able to, I mean, really, I was like, man, we're going to be able to pay the bill, pay it off quick to give you a discount, et cetera, et cetera. While I'm waiting for the offering. About 12 years later. The guy said, well, I'll give you your check, right? He said, wait around. I said, okay. And 30 minutes later, he said, let's go out to eat. And I'm waiting for him to give me a check. And he goes, we went to Bob's Big Boy or Frisch's or whatever it's called. Who cares? Whatever it's the place we went to eat. And he says, here's $150. I didn't have time to get your offering. See what happened to the guy? Had a massive stroke and is no longer in the ministry 2 years later. I'm not making fun of him. Understand that. But why am I going to get bitter about it? Well, I got to get this person back. God will do it. Real quickly, you know what else it does? It causes problems in the church. Slander, gossip, backbiting, divisions, dead spirit in the church services are all coming from what? Evil surmising, evil speaking. You say, well, wait a minute. If I evil surmise, what do you mean evil speaking? Because what you think, you eventually got to discuss and say. And until you know for a fact that what the thing you're thinking about is truth, it's best to keep your mouth shut. So you know the whole story. A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. Proverbs 29:11. I'm almost done. Just bear with me. You can write this down, okay? Next thing is, the sixth reason, and I'm done, is how do you get victory over it, okay? Love the brethren. Just love them. Love them. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. All right? That's Romans 13:10. Just love them. I wouldn't want anybody evil surmising me, so why should I do it to you? All right? Real quickly, walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5:16, this I say to them, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The reason why you evil surmise is because you're carnal, you're fleshy, you're not right with God. There's no other way of saying it in a nice way. You're not right with God. You got to walk in the Spirit. Remember that we are members one of another. Now I understand, I'm not a brighter, so relax. But it's about 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 25 through 27. Whether one member suffer, we all suffer with it. Or one member rejoice, all the members rejoice with it. We are to care for one another. Folks, to evil surmise is not taking care of one another. Humble yourself. Another example real quickly is Christ. He is the number one example. And he humbled himself and made himself of no reputation. And took upon himself the form of a servant. And just before it says that we are to esteem others better than ourselves, then it goes right into Christ, verses 5 through 7 of Philippians chapter 2. And last of all, be slow to cast judgment upon someone. Be slow. Judge righteous judgment. Make sure the person is truly guilty of the wrong that you evil surmise in their heart. Let me say this to you folks real quickly. The same measure of mercy you show to others, God will show to you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. I'm glad it's alive. I'm glad it's true. I'm glad, God, there's no errors in it. I'm glad that we can totally trust it. And, Lord, that it still speaks to our heart today as it did when John on the Isle of Patmos finished the last book of the Bible. Lord, I do pray that you'd use me today to be a help to your people. God, my desire is to be a help, not to hurt these people at all. Lord, I really do pray that your people would receive it well. God, this evil surmising is very serious, Lord. And I pray, God, your people would really be dealt with about it, Lord, and not evil surmising their pastor or others or their spouse or their kids. That, Lord, they would understand that it's because they lack charity. It's because they're envious, because they're bitter. It's because, Lord, it causes so much division in the church. God, help them to realize they need to stop doing those things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.